Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We are gathered for the County Administration Workshop in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. All three commissioners are present this morning. We have Ryan Johnson, our Facilities Director, ready to present on Item 1A, Facilities, or Department Business for Facilities, a contract with Pressure Point Roofing, Inc. for Fairgrounds Arena Roof. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So this is the contract that, we've been working on getting the roof on the arena for quite a while, and the fairgrounds raised some money, grants. So we put it out to bid. We had two bidders. One was at least double what this one was, and this is a reputable company with a lot of experience in this type of roof. So we're looking to move forward.
And they'll get there. It looks like they'll be getting started right away.
Yeah. The only thing I'm waiting on is I'm waiting for confirmation from the architect and engineer on the truss analysis. We want to make sure that everything's good on, because we will be increasing the load on the building because we have to put a Class A fire rating. So it's a fiberglass backed gypsum product that goes down on the roof, and then the Duralast goes over it. So that is...
But no plywood?
Well, there'll be the existing plywood.
Right.
I believe it's two-bys. I think it's planks.
Right.
And then anything that's damaged will get pulled up, replaced, and then after that deck's solid, then they put these panels down and
right,
then go over it with the Duralast product.
Now, in talking to a contractor friend of mine, he was mentioning at Duralast, and I don't know if it's the company or the factory that offers this, but in order to validate or extend the warranty or anything, they come out three times during the installation process to make sure it's done right. Because I think you mentioned that the old, we had a Duralast roof on there at one time.
Yeah.
But even one of the other contractors called in and said, what's wrong with this thing? They said, it was never installed correctly.
Yes.
And I think Duralast may have at some point in time had contractors that were just, you know, putting their product down. And if you do it incorrectly, it's not going to last long.
Exactly. And this.
And so do we have routine inspections by the manufacturer, I think, would be Duralast, because they have a plant here in town.
Yeah. In
to
this
validate
case,
and warranties or, you know, inspect that.
We're going to make sure that every I is dotted and T is crossed, and the company that's doing the installation is a certified Duralast installer.
Right.
So there shouldn't be any issues there, but if we do need to bring Duralast themselves, we'll make sure that that's done. It'll also be inspected by myself and the architect as we go to make sure that we don't duplicate.
You might ask Pressure Point if they do that, or if that is available or something. Can you do that? Can you ask Pressure Point and just say, you know, this question came up from the board,
mm-hmm,
from a commissioner at a board meeting that, you know, that there was some question, and he may say, no, we do that with every job. I don't know. You know what
right,
I mean? That may
yeah,
be.
And I believe that's the case, but I will verify
okay,
and ask
yeah,
the question.
That may be, and that, like I said, I was just talking to a contractor who had that done on a job, I think he did over at Southern Oregon College.
Okay.
Does it make any difference on the contract issuing for you?
No, it would not. It's just something that, you know, it's not in the contract because I read that, but there's a couple places that, you know, that you're going to do, put it in according to the standards, you know, for the material stuff. That's all in there.
And then also to go along with the warranty, I'm going to be getting a price back on, there's a few out clauses always on warranties. And, you know, negligence of maintenance and inspections
right,
is one. So what I'm looking at is having them give us a price, and what they're suggesting is that it's inspected once or twice a year. So I want to know from Duralast, how much would you charge me to come out every year and give me that inspection?
Give it a once over, sure.
And then if something happens, they're the ones that inspected it.
Right.
So.
Okay. And I think at one time, did we ever get a hold of Douglas County? Because Douglas County's arena has a vinyl roof on it. To see, because it looks like it's been up there quite some time to see how happy they were with it.
I personally haven't.
Okay.
I believe our architect has talked to numerous
right. people. Well, we talked about just in passing. I didn't. Right.
I didn't pressure point roofing does roofs all through Oregon. They have a branch in Eugene, so there's a good chance they did that roof as well.
Okay.
So I think we're in pretty good shape. It's a no dollar limit, 20-year warranty.
Okay.
Because I know there was some concern from the other contractor
right.
That this was not an NDL type warranty, and it is.
And it is, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then they also had concern over the load being put on the roof and such. And I was sent over a copy of a letter that they issued. So if that comes, if you guys see it and have any other questions, feel free to ask.
Now they all. I think there were the other company had an alternative of a build-up roof. And a build-up roof can't be the lightest thing in the world.
No.
Because you're using basically an asphalt product, I'm going to assume.
Right.
You know, like a tar paper.
Yeah.
Shingle product.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of weight to that as well.
Yeah.
And no matter who did the vinyl style, PVC, whatever it may be, they're going to also have to put this fire barrier.
Still got to put the fire barrier down. And the fire barrier, I think, is different from the last time. That roof that's on there now does not have a fire barrier underneath it.
No, that's it's my understanding when we...
whatever they put yeah. it over, and it didn't work.
Yeah, and we potholed through the roof to check for asbestos and those type of things, fire ratings, and mm-hmm. none was found. And there was some concern over seismic, adding the weight and the seismic issue, which... They go together, but their separate load is separate from seismic, and we are looking at the shear of the building,
uh-huh.
And that is going to be part of the next phase where we're going to add some bracing.
Well, it seemed to me that we have a phase that's taking care of underpinning for the grandstands. Does that take in the roof structure also, or is that something you can add to
this,
that?
No, this is more on the walls themselves.
Walls.
They don't really have any shear panels on them. So there's a few sections where we'll actually probably build new walls, either interior or exterior.
Now, aren't we adding some corners to that when looking at the artist conception that we had here 6 months, a year ago, mm-hmm. that showed, like, say, corners, added corners to the building? It looked like it was different than it is in real life.
They're
is
freestanding.
That what we can add this year?
They're freestanding. Oh, those are kind of standing off on their own.
Okay.
So when we get into the siding portion is when we'll do that shear.
Do the shear stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do want to make sure that we have our truss analysis, because these are
old trusses.
Before we put the weight up there.
Right.
So and if that becomes an issue of any kind, we'll have to look at another fire rating or what we have to do. So before we slap the load on it, we'll check that. So.
Okay. Well, the one good thing about that roof out there is that we don't have a bunch of trees and stuff that can drop debris on it.
Yeah.
Because tree limbs and stuff will poke holes in any roof. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a good deal out there.
Yeah. Okay. And that product's been on there a long time, even installed correctly.
Yeah. So. Well, it's on again, off again, on again. Off.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, it's not my first choice, but it'll work well in this
application. Our August snowstorm out there.
Hey.
Yeah.
Plastic from the roof.
Is there any equipment on the roof or
no.
penetrations for solar?
There's a few vents.
Vents?
Just natural draw vents currently. We are looking at putting maybe a couple of mechanical motor-driven vents and some motorized louvers on the west side.
For makeup air
because they run tractors in there to till.
Sure.
And then we thought we could use it to bring in natural light. So these louvers could be opened up, let the sun come in. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have to run the lights.
And those louvers would be on the wall somewhere.
Yeah,
the
they're actually
on
the gable up
end.
High.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that would be in part of one of the next phases. We'll
right.
see how far the dollar will stretches.
First thing,
but I mean, you'll make all penetrations before they install.
Oh yeah,
through the roof.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if for some reason a new penetration comes up, then we'll bring the manufacturer back in to make sure.
To make sure it's legit.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yep. My
sounds good.
That's
to me.
All the questions. Thank you. Chairman, for indulging my questions.
Me too.
No problem. So we will move it forward to weekly business session.
Now, this is coming up on next week's WBS, which is in Cave Junction. Would it be okay if you got the information to me and I give the report on it at Cave Junction so that Ryan doesn't have to go out? Would that settle well with everybody?
Yeah, and I believe it's a budgeted item, even though it's a new contract. Can it go to consent? I think it can go to consent.
Yeah, I believe so. Not sure what you'd like.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, if it's in consent.
Hitting on a sentence or two that this is the...
Make sure I get the information in case somebody asks questions.
Oh, you bet.
Public comment.
You bet.
That would be, but our meeting is in Cave Junction next month.
And we have two copies of this contract signed by the contractor already.
Right.
So those will be there, so.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Good work.
Thank you.
Long time.
Yes, for sure.
Item 1B is Human Resources Request for Policy Change on Supervisor Training.
Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
What I have for you today is a methodology to ensure that we institute, but in the future, a structured training program for all of our hired and promoted supervisors. You had asked me to put this together, and it was already on my agenda to do anyway, so it's a good thing that we haven't done a great job in the past. But I wanted to make sure that it's something that in a year, two, three, four, or five, whatever, sticks around, that it's a mandate that, you know, all the departments know this is something we shall do, not something that we should do. So in order to facilitate that, I'm recommending a policy change that just very simply states that this is something that we shall do. And then I also gave you what I've worked up for what the training will look like.
Okay.
I did bring this to department managers, and based on their feedback, I made some additions with the initial trainings for the nuts and bolts trainings that we're going to do. Some stuff that we'll coordinate with legal and finance.
Are these all in-house? Or are they utilizing existing trainings from BOLI and CIS and other things?
The in-person trainings will all be done in-house by internal staff, and then the online trainings will be using CIS trainings.
Okay.
So that they're flexible, that people can do them at their, you know, when it works for their schedule.
What about any trainings from any associations we belong to? I know CIS does some online training. They do in-person training as well. BOLI does extensive training for supervisors and onboarding. As far as getting some of that going, I've attended some in the past.
Those are all good things. Rob recommended
that Public Works has an excellent onboarding supervisor training. I know the Sheriff's Association does one.
Yeah, those are all good, and I am not opposed to people doing that in addition to this, but I can't mandate when those are scheduled, where these I can. And so people get hired all throughout the year, and I needed to put something together that had the flexibility that we can mandate when we schedule it. And the BOLI training and all the other ones, I also would recommend that on top of this, but we're kind of on their time frame for when those are conducted.
I would just say on the second sheet that you should have a third, or under the in-person training, add a section for those that attending any of the BOLI or CIS trainings that are appropriate in the region or something like that. And even if not, at one time, Community Corrections even did a regional training for supervisors, and they brought in people from all over the state down over to Bend to train and stuff like that. So,
I think what you're trying to say is what I was getting ready to ask is, in the future, this gets us started, but look at their schedule and utilize it where at all possible, where it's necessary.
Well, and the other side of it, too, is how much of our staff time is going to be taken up with doing the trainings, and is that the most cost efficient, or is it attending trainings that are existing on a regular
scheduled
basis
training
throughout the state, correct?
Right, I see what you're saying.
And so making sure that it's a balance of, I'm not looking to hire a new person to have to fill the role of being an in-house trainer.
And this doesn't require any extra staff. Everything that I've put in here can be done with existing staff.
Okay.
And this is a baseline, and this is the minimum to me. This is what we should be doing as a minimum. I would recommend more than this, but currently it's kind of hodgepodge. There's some departments that do a great job and they send people off and they do some good stuff. Others that do very little, but we don't countywide have a threshold for every manager who's hired will have a minimum of this, and this puts that in place.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. This is the only thing you ever do, and once you're done this, you're super confident and you're, this is a great
could
bass
you,
line.
Could you do that again?
Yeah, sure. I don't know how you're going to put that in the
pretty
notes,
good, yeah.
But good luck with that.
Angels singing. The clouds opened and the sun shone through.
There we are.
In the key of C, please.
I love it.
JJ's response in the key of C.
So you wanted to add just a little language to talk about ongoing...
Well,
training or
I think so, and just encouraging participation in some of the statewide or association trainings. And if those are open up, like if Rob sees that there's a training in Public Works, are those things that can be opened up to other divisions? If there's something that Sheriff's Association is doing, could we get another couple people in it or something like that? Because I know they have a sergeant team at it. Or they do, you know, so... what other professional agencies are we a part of? Josephine County is a member of the Special Districts Association. What trainings do they offer that are not reinventing the wheel, that other people have already developed a curriculum for some of these trainings versus... I just know that sometimes when you
I don't
start
know how you put
job,
that into words, but I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay. Yeah. And I don't know either,
We're on to page two. But I don't know how you put that in words, but I think that should be encouraged in that.
Yep, separate from the in-person and the online, you could have, you know, optional or continuing opportunities.
Yeah.
So we still have a shall,
continuing
and then we have a the option.
Education as available for the schedule, whatever it is.
Well, and so this page isn't going to be in the policy manual. This is just something that HR has. This is what it looks like, and this is it'll evolve over time, because even what we have now, you know, our classes that we're putting on may change over time. We may have some other recommendations on these are things that are important over time. And I think I can add another one that says, here are some examples of ongoing training. Because this is in the first 6 months, but you know, managers need continual improvement over time. So ongoing training is a great idea, and I could do a list of here are places to receive ongoing training.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Give some examples.
I think that's a good thing to include as well.
Well, in the 6 months that we said, I mean, we had talked about that in the goal setting and stuff, so I appreciate that kind of basis of, hey, you bring somebody on, it's not just hand them a key and, okay, ta-da, you're a manager, you're a supervisor.
Good luck.
And,
right. Park wherever you want.
Absolutely. I mean, especially visiting judges. And I had a parking spot this morning, by the way.
Oh, he came back.
But anyhow, I think that there is benefit to attending trainings with other agencies where you hear other experiences, you see what they've learned from other things, and that needs to be encouraged as well. So I see the policy doesn't put a time frame involved, just a shall that you do. Mm-hmm. And so HR is the one that will be kind of going for the 6 month thing, but that's not hard and fast. It's just kind of a recommendation goal of trying to get that going.
Yeah, and I didn't want to put, usually policies, you don't want to get, you know, you'll do this and then this and this and this. That's more of a task list. That's not really a policy. So the policy is fairly broad. Mm-hmm. It just says, this is something we're going to do, and then what it looks like will develop. Because I want the ability to, you know.
That's the part you can change.
This is the part that will evolve over time.
This is what we're shooting, this is what we're going to do as a policy, and that's going to be policy in what is...
Yeah.
By changing the policy, we send a message across the county that the executive head says this is something that's important to us and we're going to do it. And then the developing on how, I'd like that to be flexible enough that it can evolve and change as needed.
I think I've just sat through enough first week, first day kind of introductions that how much retention would somebody have? Mm-hmm. Even our orientation. I mean, you go in there by noon and they're all glazed over and gone.
And that's why I structured this way. It's designed to be 2 hour classes once a month. The first one is probably going to be longer because it'll include all the where's this, where's that for HR, but also for IT and legal. So the first one will be a little longer as the nature, but the other one, subject matter specific, will purposely be spaced out over multiple months because of the retention. Mm-hmm. You know, if I take you for 8 hours and just pound on you for 8 hours, your retention will be pretty low.
Well, I think this is a good start.
Yep.
With the addition of the, as you said, with the ongoing training we're available.
Okay. Absolutely.
Excellent.
I think I'm satisfied.
So this needs to go to the weekly business session as well.
So I'll write up an order because it goes through that process, and then have it for you all by the end of the week so we can go to next week's weekly business session.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's all our identity to prepare for an out of town meeting.
I can handle the intro, I guess.
But you don't have to go.
Either way.
All right.
All right, so moving on to board business item 2A, Anderson Trestle Estates plat map. I would entertain a motion to approve the plat map.
So moved.
Seconded.
Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I don't know why we go through this process other than it's the technicality of getting it done, but yes, sir.
I can tell you why it does, and we've had it. One of the first things that I experienced was out there on Pickett Creek when we had that big flood or a lot of high water, and all of a sudden one of the big culverts washed out there in a plat, and all the homeowners called and said, "Hey, your culvert washed out. The plat was approved, and this is all county roads now in here, and your culvert washed out." Well, it caused me to go back and find out what the rules of the road were. Unless all the streets in the plat are brought up to county standards by the developer and signed off by the board and public works director, all those streets in the plat and everything, the plat is one step of it to approve the design. But the actual bringing those streets into Josephine County's inventory is a whole nother process. And so I was able to go back to that homeowners association and say, I find nowhere where the county accepted these streets in our system. Could you have that? And they didn't have it. So that ended it. But the first inclination is, I've got that plat and you guys accepted it. We accepted the plat and the design, but we did not bring those roads into the inventory because they were never brought up to standard. So it's pretty important.
So what's our role in it other than we make a motion, we approve it, we sign it, we'd ever review it? It's all been done by the surveyors and the assessor's mm-hmm. office and all that. So I'm just saying.
Do you want to review it? Want to take a minute? Take an hour?
I just think it's curious. Yeah.
Chairman Morgan, would you like 5 minutes to review the
plan? I might look at it at some point.
Okay.
But I just find it interesting that they have us approve them with. It's just an opinion. Procedure. Yeah. It's not that we'd ever say no.
Right.
And we certainly could. I mean,
we might get strung up by the surveyor or the.
Yep. Or Luber or someone.
All right. So moving on. Oh, do we vote? Yeah, that motion carried. So item 2B, resolution 2019-10 in the matter of appointing Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. Recommendations for Teresa Cook.
I've got a insertion here for plat map because it's a very good question. The Board of County Commissioners is the governing body of the county, and the Board of County Commissioners, by extension of planning or an official hearing, originally approved the subdivision. The BCC only signs when all other offices of the county have signed. So we have to sign it, I guess.
I understand we do. It's just a matter of.
Oh, it's a good question.
Where's the checklist of what we're checking to make sure it was done
The senior commissioner's been here 2 years and 3 months.
Yeah.
So, we're all.
I think you got sworn in a minute before me, or was it a minute?
I don't know whether it was you first or me. There was a question whether they were going to swear me in or not. So, I think.
All right. Well, I'm just curious. It's like, okay, we sign these off. Where's the what we're checking for? So, just talking out loud. Okay. So, are we good moving the resolution to next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and then item 2C is matters from commissioners.
Wait, did I miss something? The second one.
We just moved it to next week. We don't make any votes today. I told you ahead of time that's all we would do.
Okay.
And just so you know, these meetings aren't a back and forth with the public either.
Okay.
So sorry. Okay, so matters from commissioners. Are there any matters that you guys would like to be brought up?
I've got to figure out how to do this, but we're still in negotiations with the Ivy Airport and the Smoke Jumpers thing. I had some stuff come up yesterday that I think we need as a board at some point in time, but I'm going to check through with Wally as to how to do that. Okay, I'm still gathering some information today.
Okay.
And but I'll bring it back. I'll have another presentation to the board at that time. The only thing hanging in the balance now is the MOU, the lease, and all of that stuff is our and transfer of buildings and stuff is all set. But I have another wrinkle and offer.
It may be worth seeing if it's appropriate for executive session.
That's the exact question I want to ask, and I just want to put it on the radar that's where we are in that part of it. We're still in the negotiating phase, and I'm gathering information today, and then we'll put it on. It's nothing that really needs to be done today or tomorrow, or it can be going to next week, and we can maybe go into an executive session next week at some point in time if it warrants that. I'm just not sure how to go from here, and so that's, I'm just bringing up other matters for that.
Okay. No, that's fine. Did you have anything there?
Just briefly, yes. I dropped by the City of Grants Pass Tourism Committee meeting the other day. Wanted to let them know about some of the happenings at the fairgrounds. And it turned into a discussion of maybe expanding that committee to include some county membership for input on tourism. Like, you know, maybe someone from Cave Junction, Wolf Creek, Williams, also being on there, and having a board liaison to that committee to broaden it, like the Collaborative Economic Development Committee, because tourism certainly doesn't happen just inside of the city limits, and so the city is going to think about that. So I wanted to put it forward for you guys to think about. It's going to be on the agenda next month for May, and so. Take some time, think about it. Let me know what you think. That's all I got.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. When are we at the 3-month market for the planning department?
The 3-month mark?
With Mark.
I would think that would be this month. Because it was sometime in January, wasn't it?
I think so. So I just want to make sure that we said we were going to evaluate it 3 months more.
Yep.
Good
point.
I've been contacted about some code enforcement stuff, and I had a question about our procedure. I was hoping to call Mark and just kind of ask through the process. And code enforcement is a kind of interesting thing. There's pieces of it in several departments.
Right.
And including there's a joint position with public health, and Solid Waste Agency is funding that. But last year, I think it was, we were starting down this process of, it might have even been the first year before that, of mapping when a complaint comes in, where does it go, how does it go, and when is it handled by environmental folks at public health, when is it handled by code enforcement, when is it handled by public works or some other entity. And
or legal.
Well, legal is kind of the nexus for all of them. At some point, they all send the reports through to legal. But I'd like to follow up to make sure that mapping is actually done.
And I think that's a good idea, because I think we talked at the very beginning, one of the things that legal got involved in right off the bat was, where does this thing stand with, and I'll use 3344 as an example. So we found out, hey, these people are 6 years arrears on their taxes. Mm-hmm. And we said, gosh, we keep sending letters and they keep tearing them up when we could be foreclosing on the place legally. You know, how many of those do we have out there and searching out who that? But I see where you're going with it, because I think we asked for that.
Well, there's a...
To find a pathway. It's just...
As complaints are coming in right now, people are being told, well, it's up to the commissioners. And so right now, complaints go into code enforcement. Something's done at that level. They work with legal. And they're supposed to be bringing us cases every week, every month.
Well, it seemed like we asked for that at the very beginning when we had the stack this high, and we said, bring us a dozen a month.
Yeah, and they haven't for the last couple months. We haven't seen. And so I'm getting contacted by citizens saying, why is there a holdup with your department? Because that's what we're being, they're being told that the commissioner's holding it up. And
Good idea.
They're also being told it's not a priority to the commissioners because we're told to focus on health and human safety, which we have said focus on health and human safety. But we didn't say don't do everything else. We said that's our priority.
But if it's not, if we don't get brought, if we don't get brought the they don't bring those cases to us, how are we supposed to determine if it's health and human safety?
And they haven't been in here in a couple months.
Okay.
So
I agree.
Just kind of.
All right, I'll reach out to Mark and see if I can have those questions answered.
So one of the things that came to mind is somebody makes a complaint. Why is our department not reaching out to the subject of the complaint just even with a simple letter? By the way, we received a complaint of this. Want to give you a chance to be voluntary compliant. You know, please contact our office to see some ways that you can do that or some initial
response.
Action, correct, yeah. Not just no action because, oh, well, the commissioners aren't going to do something. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, I think
granted, I know they're unfunded positions. They're not, I mean, it's general fund positions. There's, we had authorized a second one be hired. There should be two, and we have an attorney just for them. That is what Augustus is doing. Now, I know they've tried to focus a lot on the sheriff's office raids and doing some of those properties, but we still, as complaints are coming in, what is their process of dealing with those in a way that it's acknowledging?
And Darren, just for your sake, we're never gonna, I mean, when we came in, she brought in, said, how many of these do you have? 700. Well, you face that every day when you go to work? You really aren't going to have
700 over 10 years.
Yeah.
They never did anything with
They've never done anything other than send letters, and we send a letter, and we send a citation, and we send another letter and another citation, and this went on for years, and the people just add it to the pile out in the yard.
It was actually worse than that. The commissioners at various times said, we're not going to do anything, so they just gathered complaints and didn't do anything with them.
Yeah, there was no creativity over there, so we kind of changed that around, but I think you're absolutely right, Commissioner. It's kind of gone adrift a little bit. We need to get the oars back in the water and give it some direction.
I'll send out a message with inquiry and see what I can bring back.
We're never going to get them all, but we really need to see how many we can.
Well, and I find there's complaints at different levels. Some of them are going to be based on, is the land use application appropriate? Is it a matter of a junkyard? Is it a DEQ issue? Is it a, you know, there's various things, and I don't think at any time they've mapped what goes where, how do you deal with it, what's the appropriate timelines for follow-up. Whereas I know legal goes, gives every opportunity to the homeowner to have extensions, mm-hmm. to have to work with.
Sure.
They're very not speedy to go to court.
Trying to get compliance and not.
And I think on the general, just driving around the county, I'm seeing some real movement towards cleaning up some of the places. I had to go out to Petro Creek first of the week, and houses along Williams Highway, along 238 there on Hen House Ways, right in there. They're cleaning up an awful lot of those right in there and taking care of it. There's some more out on the other side of Cape Junction, the O'Brien area, when you go out to like the airport. There's quite a few of those that I call them compounds in the past that are all just been, you go there and they've bladed it all into a pile and getting ready to haul it away in an end up. So I think there's a message out there that we're starting to lean on a little bit, and you might give, here's your opportunity to clean it up so that we don't have to do it for you. So I'm hoping that's the message we're getting out there. It seems to be working a little bit. I would have drove up Highland the other day. Have you been up Highland lately?
Nope.
Holy cow, you get past the Highland House, Royal Gardens, and that whole thing from the left is all the way out to Highland Avenue, to Vine Street out there. That whole thing is all being cleared out. Mm-hmm. All those houses are gone in there along the little creek. All the brush has been cleared out.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, Rob and I were talking about the other day as a CMAQ project to participate in putting the sidewalks in on whatever development doesn't put in, we'll infill from that. So it's pretty exciting up there. I don't know who owns it all now and who bought it all, but they're really...
Valerian was working in the neighborhood.
Were they?
Who knows? Yeah, they did that first one on the left.
But... And then, but I mean, it's really, it's looking pretty darn nice. You know, it's kind of rough right now around the edges because there's logs laying around and piles of brush and stuff, but they're at least making some movement on cleaning that up. That's going to look really nice up there. Good addition.
Yeah, we'll be working with staff to try to get our goal setting next step kind of updated.
Meeting, yeah.
Some of the things that came out of the fire meeting on Tuesday is just which overlap with forestry. And I'm hoping to go to the next ONC meeting on the 19th, looking at where the governor's focus is going to be on her fire council is going to have implications on the ONC lands. And
Did I hear you say yesterday Court Voice was on that?
Yeah, we found out Tuesday.
Oh, good.
So he was at the meeting. Colleen Roberts was at the meeting. I was at the meeting. We were the three county commissioners there. And
right.
I was talking to, I have to look at the name because for the life of me, I can't remember it. Matt Donegan. He's the chair of the governor's wildfire council. It lives up in Portland. Most everybody on that council is from Portland. The subcommittees are areas, including people from down here, but their focus is on the social impact. So they are counting positions, one environmentalist, one logger, now someone from public health, someone from here, someone's in there. And so they recruited a bunch of people from Portland intentionally, thinking that if Portland understands it's their issue too, that maybe action will happen because we have more trees than people, so they don't think that'll have the influence. But if they can get people...
So they won't do anything until the people start catching on fire? Is that what you're saying?
Matt was going to... We met briefly outside of the conference, and he's like, well, let's pull Cord in. He's on your committee too, and he's like, I am. He hadn't got the notification. I didn't know he was on there. We were trying to, again, advocate for the other two committees, making sure there's county representation on the local government. And they didn't seem interested, which was interesting. I would say one of the best things out of it is how they're incorporating tribal activity and tribal partnership on all the committees. There's a big push from our local... tribal communities of saying, we manage these lands, we lived off these lands. They were our grocery store, our hospital, our whatever else, our homes, and we thinned, we did burning along the base and kept the fuels in check. You didn't come here, white people, to an unmanaged forest. This was a managed forest when you got here.
Do the present day tribes have the knowledge that their ancestors did to say, okay, we can manage it because we managed it 250 years ago?
A lot of that is passed on within generations.
Okay, that's what I was wondering if they
also had Grandma Agnes there. She's 94 years old, you know, who I understand, but she's still, you know, it's just, they talked about water and the importance of water, but Merv George, he was on a tribal council. He worked for a tribe for 15 years before coming in U.S. Forest Service. And he spoke to how he was taught by his grandfather of what they used to do and various things. So it was encouraging to hear that they're willing to manage the lands. And they say, what we've done for 25 years didn't work.
That's
and we got to do something
different.
That's the message. We've been doing it your way for 40 years. Try to save an owl, and it hasn't worked. Has that been working out for you? And it hasn't.
So they're talking about a balance of ecology, economics, and I don't remember what the third one was, but as far as essentially the social relationships and stuff. So they are labeling logging as economics, the ecology as the environmentalist, essentially, new terminology. So Chris Chambers from Ashland Fire is on that fire council.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing for the rogue basin project. They have a specific restoration project in mind that they've started over in Ashland, and they're focusing on good stewardship. Well, good stewardship is a terminology that the Eastern Oregon counties have been fighting for with BLM, so they can do that. They want to have the good stewardship programs. ONC counties have been opposed to good stewardship programs because even though they do the thinning and they do the work to reduce the fuels reductions, there's no resource back to the counties where the
Correct.
ONC lands were meant to be established for resources.
It becomes a liability, not an asset.
It's simply that there's jobs working in there, but the revenues go back to whoever else, not to the counties what the ONC counties were meant to be. So I specifically asked Matt, I said, Matt, you should have an ONC representative on your other committee that can be a part of this discussion about the mitigation, that can talk about, as you guys are doing the prevention, if you can get the ONC counties on board and
yeah.
make sure that you're taking in their concerns, you will most likely reduce liability of a lawsuit down the road. Because if you just simply go forward with good stewardship, you're most likely going to get a lawsuit.
Right,
and
ONC sounds like a logical person to be at the table.
I agree, but I, based
See, but
on...
But ONC, not to interrupt, but ONC is not brought into the table for when the cap and trade and the greenhouse gas thing, and the trees are the ones that are sucking up carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen, but they're not even in the room. ONC counties have just got an overabundance of timber because we haven't been able to log to the ONC Act of 1937 in 40 years.
And they were acknowledging that. I mean, we talked about the pendulums. Great, this is a resource, let's make money. And it went this way, clear cut everything, and maybe cutting beyond capacity and sustained yield. And then it came back the other way, no, we got to protect everything. And it went so far that nothing's getting cut. And now we have 25 years of overgrowth and unmanaged lands and catastrophic fires. So
okay.
trying to, and I said from my standpoint, I have a county that represents the most extreme of opinions and beliefs on this topic. We have both ends of the pendulum fervently, passionately believed in. And we, as local elected officials, have to hear both of those voices and say, I hear you, and somehow try to find a way to find balance. But right now, there's not a culture in our society that wants balance. They only want this way and my
All
way.
All or nothing.
And this way and that. And so how do we, and for me, what I see is a wilderness that has no life left. It's scarred, it's beyond destroyed, there's not life coming back. And that was Merv George's take as well. So I felt very fortunate that the table that I was at had Merv George on it, had Matt Donegan, had Jen Smith, who's the assistant manager of BLM in Medford. And so we had a pretty productive conversation without, I mean, I don't know what else was going on at the other tables, but our table was pretty productive.
That sounds good.
So court's going to be on that suppression meeting. Our first meeting is next Friday the 12th. The ONC meeting is on the 19th, the following Friday in Medford, I think.
Yeah, I will be there.
And I'd like to also go, just for an opportunity.
You can go to take my place, because I will be out of town that day.
Oh, then that'll work for the
And I've
court.
Already sent
okay.
in, I've already sent in and let Rocky know that I would not be attending that meeting in Medford.
Okay.
Finally, it's in our backyard,
and
travel would be 28.
yeah.
20 no hotel, no motel, no overnight stay, no meals, and I can't go.
Okay.
So,
with your blessing, I would like to go
yeah.
because I want to make sure that
I'll fire
there's
you
a connection
Rocky
between.
That you will be present in my stead.
Okay.
Excellent.
And just that connection of how much of the forestry stuff do we make sure with the fire stuff. And so with that, I got an invitation to go to the Rogue Forest Protective Association meeting. And it looks like the meeting is Tuesday, April 16th. And I don't know that I need to go. Dave Streeter goes. He's one of the officers of the association. I went to one of their last meetings because there was a fire follow-up. And this is a association of a lot of the industry folks, private ownership, and working with ODF and some of those. So I'll reach out to It's actually in Grants Pass that day at the ODF office, but they specifically mailed me a letter inviting me. But I also want to be careful of, I'm not forestry, but I am fire. So where's that balance in making sure that, I just want to be careful that I'm not stepping on toes, that I'm making
sure stepping on my toes. Dave Streeter is going to represent the county from the forestry side.
Okay.
And I think you need to be at the table from the fire side. Just announce that's what you're there for.
Okay. Well, I got this yesterday, so I just want to make sure that I bring it up to you.
That's local?
This one's Grants Pass. Yeah. So, okay, that's kind of where those two are. I had asked that the resolutions and that from Jackson County be put off to next week just because I couldn't have been here Tuesday. And so I hope that's okay on that. And following up with that discussion. So I don't think I have anything more this time to bug you with.
To inform us.
Yes, I know there will be more. I have an animal control tonight. State of the county, if you guys have any things that you want to make sure are included in that or have any recommendations, will you send those to Jason Roberts?
Right.
Because it looks like I would be the one maybe presenting on behalf of us, and it's like, okay, well, do I got feedback from you guys on what needs to be in there? Because I tried watching the video. I couldn't see the slides in the video. So in Simon's presentation, it was like, okay, but that's not exactly what we need to do this year necessarily. Mm-hmm. I did reach out to Rogue Valley Realtors, gave them the heads up. I have Wild River on board. They're either going to bring some, it's either going to be a no host bar if they want to bring those, it's up to them if people want to buy,
right,
or it's just, but we'll provide non-alcoholic beverages with the snacks. And let's see, I know Rogue Valley, whoever the RVTV is set up for that. And I'm not sure who exactly, is it facilities or who sets up the room?
Well, the staff did it last year.
Okay.
They just went in, and got, Julie was here, and, we set up banners and
Saw all the printed department names.
And they were, when we got all done, set it all up, got it all, Ricky and Wendy went out there, put up, and Peggy, just don't ever tape anything to the walls again.
Okay.
Because I guess you're afraid you're going to pull the paint off or something. I don't know. But I think...
Well, I don't necessarily know that we need to have the names of the departments on the walls.
Talk to them. But we had, we had like a poster for each thing is what it was on. I'd have to look at it myself.
Yeah, it just looked like
it was
the logo and the name of the department.
And the room was set up, very well. You came in and you knew something was happening. It wasn't just a, hey, sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what we're all about. It had a more of a festive air to it rather than just informational. It was an actual happening. That's from back in the 60s. We had happenings back then. Y'all have something else today. We had happenings. Like Woodstock, only different. Just like Woodstock, only different.
How long does the ONC meeting usually go?
The what?
The ONC meetings. You have those Fridays. How long do they go?
Oh, gosh.
They were half day anyway, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Four hours?
Yeah, we usually had lunch. We had lunch and then a little bit afterwards. And then usually had a presentation in the morning and we had lunch. They supplied lunch and they had a little presentation. If you were in Salem or Eugene, you were on the road by 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Okay. All right, is there any other items?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
And I assume there's no other business that needs to come before us for action at this time?
No.
All right, so seeing none, we will be adjourned at 9:49.
Perfect.